Hey, Pro Nerds, it's Iggy here for another episode of the Nerdcast. We're at episode 198. And actually, Bob, Tyler, and myself recorded an episode last weekend at OCON Expo in Omaha Council Bluffs. Unfortunately, we ran into some technical difficulties. Basically, we didn't set the equipment up right. But we also did a lot of other stuff, so I'm able to share an awesome creator spotlight where I was able to sit down with Kaylin Smith and Jenna Lube, both fantastic comic creators and artists and writers and all of it, really. Really awesome people. So they're very creative, and I think you're going to like this. This is, again, episode 198, so we will have episode 199 just around the corner for you. And then after that, I'm on vacation before we come back a couple weeks later with episode 200. I'm so excited. We're at 200. It's taken us a while to get here. Because of everything that's going on, there's so much awesome Project Nerd stuff going on, and I can't wait to share it all with you. But you'll have to wait, because some of it is a secret. Anyways, enjoy this awesome creator spotlight. Check out these two wonderful creators, and catch us again for episode 199.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
Welcome, everybody, to another Project Nerd Presents podcast. It's Iggy here. I am your host. And hello, live audience here at OCON Expo. How are y'all doing? Good? Sweet. Awesome. Well, I am here for a creator spotlight, more specifically. I'm here with Jenna Ayu.
Yep.
And Kaylin Smith.
Yeah, right, pronounce it.
I got
perfect,
it right. Yes. Perfect. Yeah. There you go. Awesome. So we're going to sit down and talk a lot about creative, because you guys create a lot of stuff. Create a lot of cool stuff and make stuff, draw stuff, do all kinds of fun stuff, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Call it stuff, right?
Yeah.
So this is unlike the other Q&As in the big panel rooms to where we'll go to you for a lot of questions. We're recording this as a podcast, so I'm going to ask a lot of questions, but we do still love interaction. So if y'all have something to say, chime up, jump in. We say something about s'mores and y'all love s'mores too, let us know. We still want to make it a fun experience for everybody, that's for sure. So I will get started right away. Why don't y'all both take turns, obviously, don't at the same time, but tell us what was your first, like, what really got you drawing, and what was the first thing that you really started to run with?
I've been drawing and writing as long as I can remember, but I went to school for animation, so that was kind of my goal in life, is to be a Disney animator, and that dream quickly died. I started drawing this series called Plume. It's a Western magical series, and I started posting it online, and people started liking it, and it just blew my mind that people were actually reading this silly little comic, and then, it just steamrolled from there. I was just like, this is where I want to be. This is the world I want to be involved with. So, yeah, I left animation in the dust, and here I am. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, I've always liked, like Kaylin, I've always liked drawing. I've liked storytelling. So, I mean, comics are like the perfect mix. I went to school for comics. I did a little bit with webcomics. But after I graduated, I sent out my portfolio to a bunch of different folks. And Boom actually contacted me. And I started as an inker with them. And from there, I got some smaller projects, like short comics. I did some coloring. I did covers. And now I'm doing graphic novels. And now I actually have a contract with them as well for an original graphic novel for next year.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's cool. And it's fun. And as Project Nerd, we create stuff. So one of the great experiences for us is when you get that validation. So you mentioned, like, somebody started liking your webcomic. We're still feel that way. Like, I'm like, why do people listen to me talk into a microphone? Like, I don't get it, but
why
are
you guys here? Right? Why do you want to listen
exactly.
to us?
Exactly. So what was that, like, that first validation point for you? You made me think about that. Like, that first just moment where you're like, wow, people really like it. Like, this is, it just kind of all of a sudden light bulb clicks that this is something people are interested in.
It was definitely the first Kickstarter that I launched, because I post this comic for free online, and suddenly people want to pay money for it. Like, that was the moment where I was like, okay, all right, they like me. They want to support me. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. Like, I think it was more like steps. Like, when I got my first job, I was like, oh, people want my work. And then, you know, it was just... I don't know. Like, it just
it was always there for you.
Yeah.
You knew you were great.
I didn't want to say it that way, but like
tiny little toddler Jenna, yeah. She's like, I'm great.
I mean, if you got it, you got it, right? Yeah. Like, so there you go. Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. What was your first comic? If you were saying like comics kind of always been your thing. What was your first? Do you remember?
First one that I read or first one that I did
first
myself?
One that you read. Like the like yeah, that's oh, a good cut. What's your first comic to a person that could mean 10 different things to, right? No, what's the first like you said you kind of like always into the stuff of that. So what was the comic that like you picked up off the shelf very young and were like, "Oh, this makes me love comics."
Tintin, I think, actually.
Tintin?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one. It's a good one. That's a classic one too. Yeah. So yeah, you and the best thing about it is you don't age yourself at all because that could have been 50 years ago. That could have been 10 years
that's a
ago.
Really safe answer.
Yeah, right. Anything that just makes you all wonder about when I started in this journey. Yeah. Exactly. So was there any comic that you picked up before you started doing Plume? That...
Yeah, mine were. So there was like the Disney zines in the grocery store line, mm-hmm. and it was like the Rescue Rangers and.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those were the comics that I got into quite a bit. But I liked Mouse. The Holocaust. I can't remember who's the creator. I can't. I'm blanking now. What was it? Oh, Spiegelman. Yes.
Spiegelman. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love that series. It just.
Yes, it's a really good one too.
Yeah.
And speaking of Mouse, yes, audience, you can ignore the little mouse that's running around and grabbing food around us. She's disappeared over there. You take an 8-year-old to a convention. You got to let her. Off the leash a little bit so she doesn't just sit there and pout the whole time. So, perfect. Yeah, great comics. I think it's cool because I always talk about that is like, I just remember that first experience of being like 9 and like opening up this and I'm like, this is a story I can read with pictures and it's fantastic. Like, this is amazing. And it like changed my life.
Yeah, it was a cartoon that I didn't have to pause. That was it.
Oh, yeah, that's a great way to put it.
And I got to sit down and draw it and yeah, it was just right in front of me.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So, what inspired Plume?
Ooh, this question's always so tough because there's so many little factors in it. The genre, for sure. Like I love like 310 to Yuma and True Grit and all those Western movies. But it was playing many hours of Red Dead Redemption, the PlayStation game.
Oh, I'm familiar.
Yeah,
both with the many hours part and the Red Dead Redemption.
A lot of my life was
it's research
dedicated.
It's research.
Thank you.
Obviously,
thank you.
Right?
That's what I tell people, and they don't really believe me.
Right.
You need to research. You need to take time. You know,
yeah.
And you know the stress relief too. I mean, you gotta. Go out and shoot people. I mean,
don't
quote me that.
That was
virtual.
Don't
people.
Know how far this speaker's
oh my
carrying.
Gosh. Anyway, but yeah, so the genre, like playing Red Dead Redemption all the time. Like I was just like, oh, I love this. Just like this grittiness, this world, and there's just so many options to it, and like bringing the magical aspect to it too was just so appealing to me. And then the characters have been around with me for so long. Like I knew I had these characters that I wanted to plop down in some kind of story. So. Playing Red Dead Redemption was like suddenly, oh, this is where I want to place them. So,
right.
Yeah, it was just kind of a combination of a lot of cool. things. Yeah.
Now, are you allowed to talk about, Jenna, your original graphic novel that's coming up, or do we
not
have to kind of...
really. I'm not
okay.
supposed to.
Was there anything you can lead in to say what inspired you to create something original in that world that wouldn't give it away? That's
well,
a tough ask, I know.
Yeah. Well, I actually was invited to pitch based off a webcomic that I did do. So it's I can't really.
It's fine. I know I'm prodding there. What I'm trying to do is get you to slip to say something. We're like, oh, you heard it first on Project Nerd, guys. No, it's I get it, it's a challenge because usually the inspiration is very specific to something there. But I just didn't know if there was.
It's a comedy.
Okay.
It's gonna be like a I like heartwarming comedies, so it's gonna be a little bit of that. It's kind of geared towards like middle school age.
Okay, so a younger audience.
Yeah.
YA or whatever you call that now. okay.
But yeah, I mean, I got to put in a lot of different aspects of things that I enjoy. So it's been a really fun project.
You've put it mostly together at this point, it sounds like?
Oh, yeah. It's been written. I'm drawing the pages now. It's set to come out early, or well, finished. It's supposed to be finished next year, so like in February.
Okay, so easier question that won't spoil anything.
Okay, okay.
What does it feel like now getting to work on something that was your own, as opposed to
really,
you know,
cool.
somebody else's work?
It's so cool. Like, no, it's awesome. I got to write it all, and it's so cool to like sit down with editors and talk about my story and what they like or don't like about my story or my characters, and I just get to like, oh, it's so cool.
Well, I mean, being an amazing creator since a toddler, it's I'm sure you're excited to
yeah.
get that part, right?
You know, it's like Tuesday. It was
right. There you go. So back to you, Kaylin. So you mentioned Plume, the you know, the world, the Western, the thing like that. So something I really like about Plume is you brought up 310 to Yuma, True Grit, and Hollywood has a really, how do you put this? They like to put a lot of just old white guys in Westerns, right? Plume does not follow the Hollywood model. You definitely get a lot more, a wider range of characters, I guess would be a way to put it,
yeah,
right?
It's a fully clothed female lead, so
right?
it is, it's a rarity. I really wanted, you know, a strong female lead in Plopper Down in the Western. That's like, you know, women don't really strive in the whole Old West.
Which is crazy, is
well,
it? Because historically...
But.
Actually, and that's what, so I have a history degree, and so a big thing, that's me bragging, I was pulling, that's me, no, so historically, minority, like, there was a lot of Asian people, especially with the railroad building, a lot of African-American cowboys, and a lot of women who had to survive on their own and were very much trained to, like, shoot, handle it, and everything like that, so.
And it's interesting to me, too, like, I was watching a documentary on it, and the saloon owner was always... for the most part, a woman. Mm. And, like, the reason why towns were built was because there was a saloon there. And then the woman, you know, she was, like, giving money for general stores. And so a lot of these towns, a woman built, basically, with her money. So it was, yeah. So take that, history.
There you go, right? You got that right. So, that's just awesome. That was one of the first things I remember about Plume that really got me. Thank you, Evie. Thank you. We've got our little mouse here as we're talking about. Oh, this is for...
You know, I prefer that, actually.
You prefer that? I was talking about, somebody said, to get the big head, and they're like, he's already got a big head. We're like, the bigger head, the bigger one. It's like, all right, guys. So, but yeah, very familiar Plume. Okay, but also very familiar, as you see the 8-year-old running around, I'm very familiar with Gumball
Yes.
Of course. What was it like getting to do something like that? Like, I get, like, so the first question, obviously, was getting to create your own. How much cooler is that?
Yeah.
But also, I feel like there's got to be some excitement in saying, I get to do this fun little whimsical thing that's here, right?
Yeah, Gumball really gave me a chance to, like, push expressions and like, character emoting, and that's, like, my favorite thing. So it was a really fun project. And, I mean, they're super cute anyways. They were really fun to draw. It's a cute story. I mean, it was a lot of fun to work on. It was an excuse to be a little more silly with my work.
Right, because it's a very, and if you're not familiar, the comic is also very much in the style of the cartoon, where
yes.
it is over the top silly. Like, it is
yes.
very, and there's a lot of things even for older audience that I enjoy watching with my
yes.
kids, because there's just stuff that's like, that is just out of this world funny.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, no, it was definitely a lot of fun to work on.
That's cool. So what else? You just started with Dirk, who... Plume, obviously, was picked up by Devil's Due. Josh Blaylock, you work a lot with them. And Dirk Manning does some work with them as well. And y'all just started Hope.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a brand new series. It's a woman who moonlights as a superhero. She's a mother by day and then a superhero by night. And her secret's found out. And this is kind of how society reacts to her as a mom and as a superhero. So it's kind of a dark look. It's like a dark Incredibles, basically.
How does the free comic book day thing work out? Like, how did that come to be where Hope was a free comic book day comic?
You know, I sat back and let everyone else do the work for me. It was Source Point Press. They took care of it, and they submitted it, and the book was chosen, and we were just absolutely amazed. Like, it was awesome. It was great.
It's been a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, heck yeah, yeah.
When we saw that on the list, we're like, we know her.
It's a double-edged sword, too, because I was super stoked, but Dirk Manning can't have any more, like, ego to him. So every success we have with Hope, it's just, like, it just stabs me, because he's always over there like, yeah, it's awesome. Like, I'm great. And no, it's me.
Dirk is a comic character himself.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
somebody
yeah.
should make a comic of him.
Who's
That's right.
met Dirk Manning in this audience?
We got a couple back there.
Yeah, he's like a a mobster, used car salesman type, like, right. showman. Like, you feel so exhausted after like a 3-minute conversation with him. But he's a good person. But
oh yeah, he's,
oh
he's
my
nice
gosh,
guy.
He's a personality. He's he a definitely personality.
The devils yeah. do is full of personalities. Now, when you really think about it,
yeah. What does that say about me?
There you go. Yeah. Right. That's a good question, right? We might need a half hour for that, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Different podcast.
So, Jenna, you're working on Gumball. What else are we working on? You mentioned, you know, different things.
I just finished Steven Universe.
Steven Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
We got craziness over there. I don't know where she went. There's the one wandering around with the number 7 jersey who is...
Oh, no.
Well, actually, her whole lanyard is just Steven Universe pin.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's, yeah.
So.
I thought that word would have carried and half the team would have came over here because I started Steven Universe late on the cartoon and I got a lot of crap for it. I'm like, seriously? Like, we're all adults here and I'm getting crap for not watching this cartoon? And then I watch and I'm like, okay, fair.
Yeah.
So the comic, too, is very in line with the cartoon?
I'd say. I mean, I hadn't actually started... I'm like you. I hadn't actually started watching it until they were like, hey, can you draw this? And I probably should know.
You should know what's going
what
on.
What I'm drawing. So, but yeah, it's... I think I would say so. I mean, it was a cute story. I'd say so.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Steven Universe character?
I really like Lars, actually.
Which one?
Lars.
Lars, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Good
and
answer.
It was cool because... Well, never mind. I'll let that go. Never mind.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Yeah. More spoilers. That's where she accidentally drops the name of the... There she is right there. I told you. Steven Universe, see the lanyard? It's all...
Yeah. A little bit of a fan.
Yeah. See? See? I told you she'd be excited about it. There you go. All right, so what has been, I think, obviously all these have multiple arcs. Plume's gone through 4 volumes. We've wrapped it with the omnibus and everything. There's got to be an arc somewhere that was the most, not even your favorite, the most challenging. Like, you guys sat down for the different things you've worked on and said, man, how do I do this? Like, you had the idea or you were presented with the idea or something and were like, how do I get this to paper? It's a tough question.
A tough question. So the thing is with Plume, you know, it was me, just me doing it. So going into Hope and having to collab with not only Dirk Manning, but Heather Antos, she's our editor, it's been a challenge some days where, you know, Dirk will present the script to me. I'll do the first read through and suggest, so I have like a co-created title. So I suggest some edits and then he rewrites again and then he goes to Heather. And so it's like a back and forth constantly. And there are times where Heather's like, no, don't do this. And Dirk's like, yes, we're doing this. And I'm like in between them fighting. I'm just like,
You're like, Mom, Dad, stop.
Mom, Dad, stop. But I mean, it's been super cordial and like we figured it out, but it is a challenge going from doing everything to now we have a team, mm-hmm. especially with SourcePoint too. Like they have input as well. So it's just like, there's a lot of cooks in this kitchen and I mean, we're making a good ravioli, but it's been a challenge. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
A good ravioli is always a challenge. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quote me on that one.
All right, what about you?
Are we talking in terms of like a story or?
I think a specific arc or if there was a whole series even that was just difficult because I feel like, I've written some stuff myself, there's certain things where I felt like I had this figured out, but then I get to it and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know what to do here, right?
With my short comic Ghosts, it's kind of a study in PTSD and so I really struggled. It took me like 2 years to even sit down and thumbnail it because I wanted to do this idea, but I wanted to make sure that it was done in a way that was respectful and sensitive. And, you know, like I took experiences from my own family and I did the research. But it was something that I was really kind of scared to put out there because
Of the material.
But I did it. And I've actually gotten some really good responses. I've had a lot of veterans come to me, and they really enjoyed it, and it's really cool. But that was a challenge. I was afraid of doing it wrong.
You did it right, though. That's an excellent
right.
book. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. Can everybody, I know we're getting a lot of people in here with noise, so I'm just make sure everybody can hear us okay. We're good? Kinda? Okay. How about now? Is this better? No. Just good? All right. Good. You can hear me? Well, yeah, I'm always super loud. I know. I'm always very loud. Okay, we'll do it. I just want to make sure I'm hearing a lot of... I'm not mad that they're here. I'm glad they're here. But I'm just saying, I just want to make sure you all are happy as well, too. Everybody comfortable? Room temperature is good? All that stuff? All right.
Yeah, cookies.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Giving away the cookies. So, all right. This is the fun question that I always like to ask everybody who gets to work in comics. One character from the big two that you get to take over, who would you pick?
From the big two?
From DC and Marvel. You get one of the big characters. Who do you get?
Captain America.
Captain America?
Yes.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Why?
He's Captain America.
He's that's fair. That's fair.
It's America's butt.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right. That's a good answer.
Mine's a little... that's a good answer.
Thank you.
Rocket. I would love...
Rocket Raccoon?
Yeah.
That is a good one.
Heck yeah.
That's a good one,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. He's just so snarky, and he's just... Yeah. I want to explore him more.
Even in the comics, there's not a lot of backstory on him. So you could get very creative with him. Yeah.
It's in there.
Yeah definitely. Because
a raccoon is fresh.
You know? Right. There you go. And popular. You get two good characters. Two of my favorites from the Marvel universe, for real. Oh, yeah. I think that'd be awesome. I would love to see Captain America with a little bit of gumball, you know, personality
that would be the
weirdest
Captain America.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just add one of the characters like the dad or something in there. That'd be very interesting for sure. So when you are thinking of stuff like that, is there ever an idea of like I wanna get there, or I'm happy doing more of the independent or smaller studio or And I hate to say smaller publisher, but for you all that are in the comic industry, you know, it's literally, it's these two or it's independent, right? So it's not like, these definitely have gotten circulation and stuff and are names from Cartoon Network, but it seems like years ago, the goal was to get to Marvel or DC. And now all of a sudden it seems like the goal now in the industry is to get somewhere where you can just tell your own stories, right? So where do you all feel in that? Like, do you want to get there and write for those big characters, or do you just want to say, I want to keep telling these stories over here?
I mean, for me, I just want to keep telling stories. I do web comics for free, honest. Like, I just want to tell stories.
Yeah.
That's what I want. So.
Yeah, I always question myself. I'm like, if I was presented with, you know, a job from one of the two, would I say yes or no? Because I do. I love the indie, the world. Because we have our own playground. We can, it's the whole, like, you know, there's no limit to the story.
You get to be God.
Yeah, and when you work for, you know, if you're writing a Captain Marvel, you have a formula to follow.
And there's people telling you more so that this is where this has to go.
Exactly.
I'm telling you where it ends. You just have to get me there within these restrictions, right?
Yeah, like, and you're going to, you know, either disappoint people or like, you know, make someone really happy. But, I mean, it's just a risk to, like, play in someone else's playground. Like, you know, indie world is just so vast and so wide open that I enjoy.
Well, that's why I think Image's kind of resurgent success has seemed to be that. Pick the people from there and say, we will give you your own creator own title over here. Just come and tell it. And that's where we thank you, Image, because now we've gotten all this extra Brian K. Vaughan stuff. Anything, any BKV you can give me, I'm in for it. So that's for sure. But yeah, it seems to be the industry's really shifted for that. And it's definitely, I don't know, maybe it's a help for all these cons that are popping up and people getting to get out there and see these comics more. I don't know. I feel like you see it, because when I go to a comic convention, I go out of my way. I'm not picking up, like, something that I could pick up on a Wednesday at a store or order from Amazon. I want to find those gems that are kind of hidden and turn me onto a new world. So I feel like maybe that's helping drive the industry. I don't, thinking out loud right now, it's just, I guess there. All right, let's get away from comics for a little bit. We usually have our quick questions, and so all of our staff team answered these series of questions, too. These are the most important questions you'll get all weekend, right? So we have to know your go-to breakfast food.
Oh.
Frosted mini wheats.
Frosted mini wheats, okay.
I like the bacon gouda sandwiches at Starbucks.
The bacon gouda sandwich?
Yeah.
All right.
Change my answer, that one.
Okay. It influenced everybody. Starbucks is sliding her money under the table right now. Right. Right. Let's do that. All right. Go to Mario Kart character.
Yoshi? Yeah.
Took mine.
Sorry,
Yoshi seems to, I think half of our staff that filled out the thing picked Yoshi. It seems to be the go-to character.
Do I have to choose another? Because she already, you know, when you're choosing the
That's
game.
That's true. Yeah, she, the big sister gets the first one, and then you have to like move, like, I'm always stuck with Luigi. Like,
for whatever reason, I want to say Peach because she's an awful character to play, but I want to like, I always lose when I play her, so. I'm going to say her because
the dress is not very aerodynamic.
One day she's going to win.
Yeah. I have the easy answer. I pick Iggy because my name's Iggy. So every time, just go with that one. And nobody picks that character, too. So I don't ever have to worry if I'm picking late or anything. All right. So we mentioned what superheroes you would work on. But who is your superhero alter ego? When you're going out at night to be the superhero, who are you?
Oh, I don't go out.
No, I'm sure there's some. Well, I mean, Oracle stays in, I guess. You could pick that character. But who would you relate to, or who would you pick as your superhero alter ego, I guess, as the character, as a well-known comic character?
Yikes. I don't know.
We asked the tough questions
here.
Yeah,
really. Right? I don't know. Captain Marvel, I guess?
Captain Marvel, okay.
Yeah. She's sassy.
I can see it. I can see it.
I
don't know.
Just not sure.
What superhero stays in?
Yeah,
stays
in.
Oracle, you can just right? You can just make sure Batman and crew are doing good out there while you stay in.
Yeah,
Okay. That's good. If I'm all for that. I'm like, whatever character doesn't have to, I don't have to go out at night. This is great. I save money too. Fantastic. All right, favorite movie. A little bit easier.
Okay, favorite movie. It's not easy. I really like Lawless, actually.
Lawless?
Yes.
Okay.
With Tom Hardy.
I'm very familiar with all of Tom Hardy's movies.
Yeah.
Everybody. Everybody now.
Okay. I'm running through the list of movies that I really enjoyed, but not like my favorite movie.
So while you're thinking about that, that was my I made this questionnaire and sent it out there, and then I'm like, I can't even pick one movie, and I just asked everybody else to do it. I don't know.
Okay, my current favorite right now is the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man and the really Spider-Verse is so good. So good.
That's my answer.
That's a good answer. That's a really good movie. Really good movie. All right, I know we had two more questions. I want to save the one for last. What was the other? I think it was your your favorite cartoon character as a child. That was it.
Brooklyn from Gargoyles.
All right.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Now I can't think of something. My favorite cartoon character.
Childhood cartoon character.
I think Esmeralda from The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay, Esmeralda from Hunchback.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's a good one.
Big old hoop earrings.
Oh, yeah.
And so we wrapped the questionnaire for the team with the big question of one person alive or, past. You can have dinner with. Who are you sitting down to pick their brain, I guess?
Hepburn.
Who?
Aubrey Hepburn.
Aubrey Hepburn, okay.
To pick their brain, I think Lucky Luciano, actually.
Which one?
Lucky Luciano.
Lucky Luciano?
I think so.
Creative answers there. They're not the normal,
Should we have been in the industry or something? Should we have had...
I didn't think anybody.
All right, just a second, okay.
I picked Adam Yauch from the Beastie Boys was my pick after he passed. I would have loved to just sat down with him because he was such a brain for it. And I think we had a few that picked, famous, philosophers or creators and stuff. So, yeah, we had people all over the place picking that one. It was a good one.
Okay.
The audience did turn out pretty good. And I said early on that we weren't going to do too much Q&A from the audience for the sake of the podcast. So what we'll do, though, is I do want to get some questions from y'all, then I'm going to repeat them into the microphone so those that listen to this later recorded can hear it, and then we'll turn to y'all for answers. That sound good for everybody? Good? All right. Let's see those hands. Who's got some questions for our creators here? Two people up front. We'll start on the left side. Ooh, that's a good one. So what kind of advice do you have for people who want to get into comics or start creating but don't really know where to start?
So we live in a digital age now, and webcomics are suddenly being taken seriously. I highly recommend visiting those sites that have the free webcomic offerings. They have Webtoons. Well, I don't know if Webtoons is free anymore. I know they changed policy.
They were charging for a while. I think they have a charge level and a free. Right.
Okay.
A free level and a charge level.
So, if you wanted to start a comic, definitely go on those sites like Tapastic, Webtoons, Smack Jeeves, which is ancient now, but those free sites where you can just post and suddenly people can find you and the audience is already there. So I highly recommend going the webcomic route. This was a webcomic first. Now it's my job. So you never know. So my advice is just start posting.
Yeah. If you're looking to break into like a company or something, I do research. Some companies you can only meet at cons, but like put together a portfolio and send it out to like everybody, and follow up to just like find your favorite comics, find who published them, and see if they've got anything on their website about contacting them, or where you can meet them, or just like get out there and put your name out, meet them, get your portfolio out. Yeah.
Meeting people, yeah, that's the advice we always give when we talk about doing this stuff, meeting people and picking their brains. And,
yeah.
And we always talk about how the geek community is so, you know, we're so tight-knit. Everybody loves everybody. They're able to pick. And we always make the joke, and Tyler gives me a hard time for it, because when we published a few comics, I picked Josh's brain like crazy. And Tyler's like, did you buy Josh's book? I'm like, he had a book? Has a book on how to do this? It's like, but Josh still, even having that option, still helped us out tremendously and gave us a lot of information, because everybody's always so helpful with it.
Yeah.
So, all right, the next question here. What music do you listen to for inspiration? That's a good one.
I like soundtracks. Like, actually, Last of Us and Red Dead Redemption soundtrack.
I like soundtracks, too, but right now I'm in a System of a Down kind of mood.
Yes, I'm liking it.
Okay.
That's a good question and some good answers, too. Good answers. Yeah. All right, what other questions do we have from the audience? Yes. So do you find yourself embodying the character you're currently working on? That's a good one.
Yes. I feel like as comic creators, we are
I have
also
a lot
actors.
More questions now, too. I have a lot more questions now after that.
I do find myself having conversations with, like, acting out conversations and reactions. And I'm so glad I'm home alone at that time, because I'm a weirdo when that time comes. So, yeah, for sure.
That's a great question.
Definitely. Yeah.
And I want to piggyback on that question. It's a great one. Dialogue is always so hard to write. People always think, and then they get to dialogue, and it's like all 20 of your characters basically talk the same. It's how it ends up being produced. Because it's a tough. So what makes it, you were saying maybe conversations with it. How do you get that to where I need this person to sound differently right now? You speak it out loud, I think, is something you kind of hinted at, or do you do some other things?
Like keeping the dialogue natural. Yes, just talk to yourself. Like however you say it. Write it down. So, how I do it.
Yeah. I mean, I like to listen to, like, real people, too. And I kind of pick up little quirks in the way they speak. And I like to incorporate those things, like certain drop consonants. And just, like, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
That's that video game and movie research you got to do, right? To get on some of that dialogue there.
Got to do some more research.
Right?
Yes.
Awesome. What other questions we got? We got some good ones so far. So let's keep them going.
Pressure's on now.
Right? Yes, sir. Oh, some more dialogue questions. So looking at the slang or pronunciations and researching some of that. Some more dialogue,
Yes, 100%. Especially when you're writing like a historical character. I love to like, it's hard with slang and like historical settings, because you don't want to throw in too much that you alienate your audience. But to kind of like drop a little, piece of vernacular every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of gives it a hint, but it doesn't make it too hard to understand. It just kind of gives it a little flavoring, I think.
Yeah, I went the Deadwood route. So cowboys didn't swear at all, and they had like really ridiculous phrasing, like I can't even remember now because they're so ridiculous. So I actually researched on how like cowboys speak, and I was like, this is kind of silly. And so Deadwood even talked about that, because Deadwood like F-bombs like left and right, and that
well,
never
that's
happened
it's HBO,
back then.
Right.
True. They
every
had to
HBO
up the rating, you know.
Right.
I went their route where it was kind of like modern speak for the Western genre, but I haven't mastered the accent yet. In real life and in writing it. So I was afraid to like alienate people reading it. They're like, what the heck is this person saying? So I would like to eventually, but right now it's modern speak in here.
And even use your network. Like for something I wrote it like an English character or a British character, and I sent it to a friend over there and was like, just change the words that you think aren't right, because they would know better than I would for sure. So something like that's also good on there. Mm-hmm. But dialogue always, because so that was great questions, because dialogue I think challenges a lot of people who first dive in, because so many people just write everybody to talk like themselves, right? So it's a challenge to think in so many people, different people's heads. All right, what other questions? Let's keep this going. We got good questions going. Yeah. Can you say it one more time a little louder? Oh, influences from other artists? Okay, so influences from other artists and ones maybe that... I like the way you kind of word that at the end, too, maybe some that might have surprised you. You didn't realize were influencing a little bit. Like, oh, that kind of looks a little bit like this.
I definitely got dot eyes from Tintin. Like,
okay, okay. Going back to Tintin there.
Yeah, and like I really love J.C. Leyendecker's work. So I love like really straight angles and
yeah.
You know. But I found a lot of influence from that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I got some influence from Avatar Last Airbender. I found a lot of influence there. But yeah, it just kind of develops over time. And then going through Comic-Con and you like look at a booth, you're like, oh, that's how I draw noses. Did I copy
did I copy that, or did they copy me?
Gotta talk to them. It's a combination of a lot of things.
Awesome, perfect. Any more questions? Yes, I know you looked eager to ask another one there. Ooh, man, y'all are great today. Yeah. A character that you wrote that ended up inspiring your own life, or you in your own life.
Yeah, I asked myself, what would Vesper do?
There you go.
No, she does make a lot of mistakes. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I strive to be a Vesper one day. No, I don't, actually.
Yeah, I think so. Like, every once in a while, like, if I've written, you know, some really confident characters and I'm not feeling particularly confident, I'd be like, well, what would they do in this situation? How would they respond? And I act, you know?
And it goes back to the dialogue, too. Like, you think of things that you wish you had said in that moment for that character to say, too. So it's kind of like you're writing a character that you wish you could be and wish you could say. Like, I'm writing my current project, for goodness sake, and one of the characters is a complete turd. Like, he just says what he wants when he wants, and there's times where I'm like, I just want to be a Thatcher. Like, I just want to, like, tell people how it is. So it is. There's a little bit of a moment where you're just projecting what you want to be on your writing. So.
Yes.
All right. We got time for another one or two questions. I know we got some other good ones out there. Or we might be worried that all the like such good ones are us.
Yeah.
But I promise you guys are doing great. Any other questions on it? No? Okay. Well, I will jump into a question for those that are going to be listening on the podcast. Where can they find y'all coming up? And what shows are y'all headed to after this?
Oh, I don't have anything else on my schedule right now.
What is my name? Michigan Comic-Con.
Michigan Comic-Con?
Yeah. And then New York Comic-Con in October. So that's a big one.
That's a big one. That's a big one for sure. So... You don't have on schedule now. Where online can they find that information then?
I'll post on Instagram, Twitter.
Okay.
At Boney G. Jones.
There you go.
That's me.
You can find me at kaylinsmith.net.
All right. Well, if no more questions out there, I think I got tapped out on questions too. Y'all were great. This was fantastic. Lovely round of applause for our two wonderful creators here. Thank you. Thank you. This was fun. If you got any questions, of course, they're in the arena floor. They have a lot of their creative work out there and are doing commission. Are you both doing commissions, right?
I can do.
You can do. Okay. They can both do commissions.
Yeah.
Sure. So definitely go find them. They would appreciate that greatly. Other than that, y'all have a great rest of the day, too, everybody. Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.